Now, Bill Resnick returns to talk with author Chuck Collins about bringing some of the wealthy into the fight for a more egalitarian society. Bill.
Thank you, Clayton. Chuck Collins, welcome to KABU.
Hey, Bill. Great to be with you.
Chuck Collins is going to be in Portland tomorrow. He's talking at the First Unitarian Church, which is on 12th and Salmon, on his new book, Born on Third Base. Here's what Barbara Ehrenreich said about Chuck Collins and that new book. I have never read a story remotely like the one Chuck Collins has to tell. Born to the 1%, he grew an outsized conscience and gave up his inherited wealth for a life of fighting the vicious inequality that is destroying our country. Somewhere along the way, he came to understand that the rich can be part of the solution instead of the problem, and started organizing them to join in the struggle for a fair economy. Chuck Collins, you'll be speaking tomorrow again at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian. In this interview, in our limited time, I'm hoping we could discuss what part of the solution do you see the rich playing, and what roles do you see them in?
Well, I think one important thing is to realize that the wealthy aren't monolithic. So there is this segment of the rich that rig the rules to get more wealth and power. But there are others, like the Patriotic Millionaires Network and others, who I think can validate the struggles. For instance, you know, there are business leaders who are very, very eloquent about why we should be raising minimum wages and living wages. There are wealthy people who have historically stood up against tax cuts. And again, we're mobilizing now as President-elect Trump says he wants to get rid of the inheritance tax, the estate tax again. Part of that movement will be the people who pay that taxes who are standing up and saying, this is why we should pay it. And I also think that wealthy people can disrupt the narrative of deservedness. This idea that, oh, these inequalities exist because we live in a meritocracy and people get what they deserve. And what I found is that a lot of wealthy people tell their story, the people I'm helping organize, tell their story in a way that shows how society and other workers and others have contributed to their wealth. So they question that powerful myth of individual achievement. So I think those are some of the ways that the wealthy can play a role.
Yeah, and because of their wealth and often fame, if only in local areas where they may be the big employers or make major contributions, they have a very big megaphone. And if they're really challenging a lot of the basic myths that maintain the old social order and the capacity for the wealthy to become so enriched and further enriched. That is, it seems to me, an important role. Let me talk about another role that they may be playing and that you deal with in the book, or why don't you talk about the enormously important, the profound importance of dealing with climate. Profound is understates it, of dealing with global warming and climate change, which is leading to mass extinctions, including maybe this species, and in the long run as it plays out. Chuck, talk about the ecological role that you see them within that struggle.
You know, I think it's an example where, and I've made this argument, that look, there is no wealth on a degraded earth. Wealth is worthless if soil and land and water are contaminated. And I think a lot of very wealthy people understand that. They actually see, maybe because they get the jet set around, they see the impact of ecological change around the world. You know, I think about somebody like Tom Steyers, who's a gazillionaire who stepped up and put tens of millions of dollars into changing the politics around climate change. And I think my goal is to recruit another 100 Tom Steyers who support student groups and support organizing efforts and help organizations get smarter around communications and talk about how it's going to fundamentally undermine everything that we care about. So you're right, Bill. This is a group of people that, for good or bad reasons, have a bigger megaphone, and it's good when they use it to support and validate the organizing work that other people are doing.
Yeah, the question I think I have that has to be addressed is that at some point it seems to me where if we are going to be able to deal with the climate crisis and save at least some percentage of the species and manage to have a sustainable economy and livable Earth, at least the climate scientists, it's not just a left that says it, sees the need for absolute fundamental change in our system, including a very different vision of growth. That is, we just can't keep going on with exponential growth and using more, extracting more resources and the rest of it, and therefore in some ways depleting the planet, if it's the soils or the oceans or the atmosphere or global warming, it can't go on forever. And since the capitalist system is really at the logic of the heart of it is exponential growth, that people don't invest unless they can make a good return on it, and the return has to at least be above average, so they're constantly fighting and competing. It seems to me that system has to end. I'm sure there are wealthy people who sort of recognize that, as you did long ago, and are ready, in fact, to accept the kind of democratic planning and democratic in very bold letters in every way, it seems to me, but who accept that. I think most of them, and also their servants, the sort of the high priest economists who preach more growth than the rest and how good it is for mankind, that all of their servants, lobbyists, politicians, higher managers, they're going to find it very difficult to accept that verdict. I guess parts of the wealthy you think can sort of checkmate those who are just completely unwilling and make the kinds of changes that are necessary.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Bill. I mean, the band is not going to keep playing. The perpetual growth machine, the kind of extractive capitalism that we're living with that's destroying nature. And what I'm seeing is very powerful examples. I see the divest, invest movement where people who own capital are actually withdrawing it entirely from the fossil fuel industry and actually shifting it not to just other market, other stocks or whatever, but actually into local just transition type ventures, worker-owned energy companies. And that means a lower rate of return. But for some wealthy people, they understand that that's the change, that there aren't going to be these mega returns. And in fact, the role of capital in building the new society is going to be subordinate to community enterprises and other democratic needs. And so I think people are modeling that through this divest and reinvest in the new just transition, the new energy economy. That's just one example. And there's this network confluence philanthropy. There's like $3 trillion of money that's being sort of taken out of Wall Street and put into very different kinds of ventures that are more community-controlled and worker-owned and are really the livelihoods of the future. So I think we are in a transition to a new system that's going to be entirely rewired within the constraints of nature, and I think there's a people with capital can help move that faster. That's my hope. And my case to the wealthy is, look, we got to change the trajectory yesterday, so it's time to step up with all due haste. And other people are just trying to survive. And if people have the resources where they can make a difference, that they have an obligation to help society make that transition as fast as possible.
Yeah, to convert some of that wealth or as much as possible to building the infrastructure and the models that would lead to the new economy. I think that's part of what you're suggesting. But tomorrow night, you're going to be speaking at the First Unitarian Church at 7 o'clock. I understand you'll be there before and after to talk, and you're going to be addressing all of these questions. I hope all the Phil Knight comes and the others, and they also devote their fortunes to something besides football, his major charitable endeavor.
Anyway, I hope so, too.
Chuck, keep up the good work. Thank you. Thanks for talking.
Thanks, Bill.
And see you tomorrow night.
Come on out and check out inequality.org, too, which is the portal for all the work that we do.
Oh, right, that with IPS, inequality.org. Thanks a lot for talking.
Thanks, Bill.